May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This is our text. You may be seated. Dear Saints, tonight marks the first of our six Lenten midweek services, and our theme for this year is our suffering Savior. Our readings and our meditations will be based on the fourth servant song of Isaiah, Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12. These words were written some 700 years before the birth of Christ, and yet they depict with stunning accuracy Christ's life from his birth to his resurrection. Isaiah portrays the suffering and the glory of our Savior with vivid imagery. Most especially, Isaiah shows us that what Christ endured was for our sake, to bring for us the forgiveness of our sins. Lent is a journey. It's a journey that started last Sunday on Transfiguration, and one that ends on Easter, two of the high points of the church year, the 2 days, I think, when we most vividly see the heavenly glory of Christ displayed. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he shines like the sun, and of course, on Easter, we see that not even death can hold our Savior, as he defeats death by rising from the dead in his new glorified body. Between these two high points, these mountains, if you will, lies the valley of the penitential season of Lent. The structure of Isaiah's fourth servant song mirrors this journey. It begins with 3 verses describing the suffering servant, and the final 3 verses describe how he has achieved our salvation. The middle 9 verses are like the valley. They describe Christ's humiliation, how he took on our sins, suffered in silence, was cut off, and buried. The passage both starts and ends on the elevated mount of joy at Christ's success and portrays the sobering details of Christ's suffering in the valley between. Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our message? To paraphrase Isaiah's question in modern English, we might say, who can believe it? Who can believe this astonishing message about Jesus Christ? Our verse concerns the nature of unbelief and faith. Some take offense at Christ. Others hear the same story, and yet by the power of the Spirit, they believe. Our text is almost as if we're overhearing 2 eyewitnesses talking about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. How difficult it must have been to believe and understood what had taken place. But now, as they look back, they do understand, and they do believe. Or our text may remind you of the discussion of the 2 disciples and Jesus on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. They likewise didn't know what to make of all that had happened. After Jesus departed, Luke 24 tells us, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of the bread. They are looking back at Christ's life, his death, the reports of his resurrection, and thinking to themselves, who could have believed it? We didn't believe, but now we see. Now we believe. How foolish it was to not believe. Isaiah asks, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord is an interesting phrase. It represents God's might, his strength, his power. The arm of the Lord is God in action, using his strength and power to accomplish something for his people. Salvation, to deliver his people from their enemies. Long ago, the Lord stretched out his arm and parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could walk through on dry ground. And then he used that same arm to strike dead the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. The Israelites sang a song after that event. Your right arm, O Lord, is adorned in power. Your right arm, O Lord, shatters our enemy. But now the arm of the Lord is being revealed in a new way. God is again reaching out to rescue his people from the forces of evil, all those forces that seem to overwhelm us. God's arm is again in action, bringing salvation and blessing to us. And yet the arm of the Lord now reaches out in a strange and unusual form. His mighty arm takes the form of two outstretched arms upon a cross. His arm does not look powerful or mighty, but weak, as it takes the form of our suffering Savior. Isaiah writes, he grew up like a sapling before him, like a root from dry ground. He had no attractiveness or majesty. We saw him, and he had no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of pains, familiar with sickness, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not regard him. God's salvation is being made manifest through a man who is described not as a conquering king or a mighty warrior, but as a tender plant struggling to survive in the desert. This man faces opposition from all around him. He is rejected, even hated, a man who knows pain and suffering. When people see this man, they hide their faces from him. They are shocked and appalled. They turn away. In this picture, he has no outward beauty or majesty that we would even want to look upon him. This is a portrait of Christ. He grew up like a root in the dry ground. As an infant, King Herod tried to kill him, so his parents had to flee to Egypt. As he began his ministry, even his hometown of Nazareth rejected him. Jesus went through life hungry and thirsty, tired, weary. He was harried and harassed by the crowds when they wanted something from him, and when they didn't get what they wanted, he was scorned and shunned. His kinsmen, even his own brothers, were skeptical. Yet the prophetic message that God spoke through Isaiah is that this despised and rejected man is actually the arm of the Lord. This man of sorrows, who looks so weak, is the embodiment of God's strength and his determination to save us and deliver us from our sins. This is the astounding, paradoxical message. Who can believe it? It's incredible. It's hard to believe, yet it's true. As we said earlier, our text is like an excerpt of a conversation between two people who had not believed and are now shaking and kicking themselves for not believing earlier, and now they call it what? Our message. Who has believed our message? Those skeptics who formerly did not believe it now believe it. They publicly confess this message as their own. Now their task is to proclaim the message to others so that others too would believe. What about our world? Many people in our world don't believe the message of Christ. It's easy, I think, to understand why. Who wants to admit that we are poor, miserable sinners, and that our sin, if not forgiven, damns to hell? Who wants to admit that we desperately need help, someone to rescue us from what we justly deserve? What's more, Who wants to admit that we need a rescuer that looks like that? A suffering Savior on a cross. Who can believe it? We do. We believe it. We confess it together. We believe that Jesus Christ, this tender shoot, this man of sorrows, this man from whom so many people hide their face, this man whom so many people try to ignore, is our Savior. Others despise and reject him. But we believe he is the arm of the Lord, strong to save us from our sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.